Hello and welcome to the EMG Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. I'm going to apologize up front if my voice sounds a little bit odd, a little bit sniffly. I think it's probably some hay fever or something like that. Anyway, like many surgeons, I enjoyed having music play in the operating theatre when I was working there and had different music for different points in the operation. There was cerebral opening music, the overture to the main event, if you will, a calm serenade to the key parts of the procedure. Think Chopin or Stan Getz. That was my chosen sort of music. And then I would use driving rock to close the patient up, kind of keep the mood elevated. Music affected my mood in the intense environment of the operating theatre, frankly, just as it does in many places in life. I think most people know the old adage from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Orsino says, "If music be the food of love, play on," asking the musicians to overdose him with music as he contemplates how unexpected and sometimes, quite frankly, unwanted the emotion of love can be. But of course, music, a connection. Music makes us want to dance, to cry, to sleep, to feel many emotions. Sound is important and sound surrounds us. So if you'll forgive the pun, let's get into the groove and explore sound as it relates to health. Of course, simply put, loud noises, loud music can startle and cause panic or can make us dance and thereby exercise. If the type of music is not to our liking, it can irritate or frustrate. I remember once seeing the Chinese opera in Beijing, and while enjoying the visual spectacle, the colours and such like, the dissonant tones rankled and made me feel, well, distinctly uncomfortable, physically uncomfortable, irritated, unhappy. Whereas Western opera bathes me in waves of strong positive emotions. I feel different. And by definition, if we're feeling an emotion, there must be a hormonal and neurologic response. I'd like to tell you a little story about an example where music irritated. I believe it was at the tail end of 1989, the United States had a little bit of a falling out with Panama's General Manuel Noriega, and they invaded that country. The general fled to the Vatican Embassy, which is, of course, sacrosanct territory, and the American military could not break the doors down. So they did something else. They set up a sound system and played continuous music to send a message to the general who was holed up within. Things like Casey and the Sunshine Band's appropriately named Give It Up. No, I'm not going to sing to you. Alice Cooper's No More Mr. Nice Guy and Black Sabbath's Paranoid. Absolutely priceless. The psychological operation was embraced by the American troops, who suggested songs like Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, and a version of I Fought the Law. I think that was aimed at the people in the embassy who were providing sanctuary. It seems that the dictator, who was partial to opera, would rather face the consequences of his legal or illegal actions than be orally assaulted in this manner. And he surrendered. So let's think about the hospital environment from a patient's perspective. It might be equally objectionable as that assault that General Noriega faced. Think about it. Staff conversations not being held at a whisper. Pagers and monitors beeping. Phones ringing. Carts clanging. Squeaky rubber-soled shoes. The cacophony of patient noises. Snoring. Moaning. Calling for nurses, loudspeaker announcements. I mean, it's a veritable dis-symphony, if you will. And if you weren't ill to start with, it'd be enough to make you so. Veritable torture. So maybe it would be a good thing to apply sound design to the healthcare environment. Better soundproofing, more attention to staff training, and more appreciation that maybe some of the alerts we use just plain don't work. It's like a clock ticking. We only hear it when it stops. So obviously, music is just a collection of different frequencies, rhythms, patterns, and so on. And just like all sounds, They make it into our brains via the pinna, the external ear. Then the tympanic membrane, or eardrum for our non-medical listeners, vibrates, and via an elegant system of three bones, the auditory ossicles, the malleus or hammer, the incus or anvil, and stapes or stirrup, these vibrations are converted into pulsatile flow inside the cochlea, and thence picked up as nerve signals, and this is where it gets really funky. As electrical signals travel up the auditory nerve, the brain interprets the nature, the meaning, the emotion of the sound. And if it be music, several areas of the brain light up. For instance, if one's had a nice experience, say a wonderful evening with a new romantic flame, and a particular song is playing, an emotional connection is made so that when we hear that song, memories of all the elements of the evening flood back. A neurocognitive loop is established, and that song will forever induce pleasant memories and physical sensations. So music is actually changing the way the brain is behaving. So if you think about this from a therapeutic perspective, music therapy is a form of complementary or alternative medicine which has been shown to alleviate symptoms of illness and improve overall well-being, often enhancing traditional allopathic treatments. But again, think about it. Music makes you feel different in the best of circumstances, and it does that by affecting changes in your physiology. Music therapy involves using a person's responses and connections to music to encourage positive changes in mood and well-being. And it might involve creating music with instruments, singing, moving to music, or simply just listening. It's commonly used to aid in physical discomfort by improving respiration, lowering blood pressure, improving cardiac output, reducing heart rate, and relaxing muscle tension. So let's consider some examples. Obviously, I've mentioned getting out on the dance floor. That's going to improve your heart health from exercise. But we also know that listening to music can alter your breath rate, heart rate, and blood pressure. And you know the expression that something of beauty takes your breath away? Well, gorgeous music can actually do quite the opposite. We also know that music can be energizing. A 2015 study by researchers at Shanghai University found that relaxing music helped reduce fatigue and maintain muscle endurance when engaging in a repetitive task. Music therapy sessions have been found to decrease fatigue in patients receiving cancer treatments, and it's also been shown to raise the fatigue threshold for people engaged in demanding neuromuscular training exercises. As far as exercise performance is concerned, a 2020 research review confirmed that working out with music helps your body exercise more efficiently and lowers your awareness of exertion, often leading to longer workouts. And I can attest to that. I certainly find that my morning run is longer and more energetic if I'm listening to some rousing music or a stimulating podcast, whereas something chill makes me want to lay down and relax. Music therapy has also been shown to help with pain management. For instance, a 2016 meta-analysis reported that music helps people both manage acute and chronic pain better than medication alone. For mental health, music therapy reduces the negative side effects of stress, such as emotional and behavioral problems. Calming patients improves well-being and can even help them recover from surgery more smoothly. So you can see it's not just the surgeon benefiting from the music, maybe the patient is also. Music also helps lower anxiety. For instance, studies have shown that people in post-stroke rehab are more relaxed once they've listened to music for an hour or so, and hence they do better with their rehab. And while there's conflicting evidence on whether music therapy has an effect on the body's physiological stress response, one study did indicate that in general, the body releases less cortisol when listening to music. But another study concluded that music didn't reduce anxiety before a stressful event, but could help your nervous system recover faster after the event. And music certainly helps with symptoms of depression. A 2017 research review suggested that listening to music, particularly classical or jazz, had a positive effect on depression symptoms, especially when conducted by certified musical therapists. And if jazz doesn't quite do it for you, the same research review found that percussion also showed above average benefits for people experiencing depression. We know that physical health issues can cause mental health problems and vice versa. In fact, it's estimated that around 30% of people with a long-term physical health condition will also experience a mental health problem, the most common of those being depression and anxiety. So mental health issues can exacerbate physical illness, affecting medical outcomes and subsequently the cost of treatment. The impact of poor mental health on physical ailments is estimated to cost the British National Health Service at least £8 billion a year. Right? That's a lot of music that you could buy with £8 billion. Some examples of how stress can directly impact physical health. Well, what about digestive symptoms like increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes or acid reflux, constipation, or chronic muscle pain from tension? And of course, stress can lower testosterone levels, which leads to impaired sexual function, which in and of itself will cause further stress. And it's not just men experiencing erectile dysfunction. Women may also get disturbed menstrual cycles, magnified symptoms of menopause, and so on. And yes, we know that stress is bad for your heart and cardiovascular system and may increase cancer risk. So chill out and turn on some sax and Brahms or whatever floats your boat. Medically unexplained physical symptoms often have a basis in poor mental health and are estimated to cost the NHS £3 billion a year. Those with severe mental illness also have a significantly lower life expectancy. And obviously, during this period of COVID, with the lockdowns and all the uncertainty, this has increased dramatically. So it's apparent that we need cost-effective alternatives and complementary treatments to enhance what traditional medicine can do. Well, the role music might play? In a meta-analysis of 400 studies, researchers discovered that music improves the body's immune system function and reduces stress. Listening to music was also found to be more effective than prescription medication in reducing anxiety before surgery. In one trial with 42 children aged under 11, researchers found that patients who listened to relaxing music while getting an intravenous line inserted reported significantly less pain. And it's also been shown to help dementia patients. It can help them recall memories. I talked a little bit before about creating neurocognitive loops, right? It can also improve physical coordination, reduce agitation. And in fact, it's now a mainstay in many Alzheimer's care facilities. I know when my mum was nearing the end of her life and was, you know, not in a good state, playing a piece of music that I knew she loved dramatically changed her mood. She would smile and she would become much more engaged. You know, I mentioned at the start how music was a part of my operative routine, but it's also a part of many components of my day, whether out for my run, cooking, reading a book, or other activities. I know it enhances my emotional sanity. And of all the things I missed during the periods of lockdown, live music was right up there. I'm very lucky to have some dear friends who are professional musicians, classical, jazz, and rock. And while their styles of music may be different, what they have in common is, I don't know, a different way of seeing the world, a more developed emotional quotient, a poetic lilt to their speech, a sense of calm in all they do. And they can actually reflect that by their music. Try viewing music through a different optic, one that provides a connection to all that's good in life. People often quote the expression that music soothes the savage beast. In fact, that's a misquote. William Congreve, the English writer, actually said that music has charms to soothe a savage breast, to soften rocks, or bend a knotted oak. And my, oh my, we could all do with a bit of soothing right now. Well, folks, That's all for now. Please do join me next week for another episode of the EMG Health Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia. Until then, stay safe, stay well, stay curious, and do so with a nice bit of music in the background. Bye for now.